Good evening. Thank you for taking the time to be here today. And I'd like to welcome to all of those who are watching over the stream, over the live stream. Thank you for that, for taking your time. And see, the time is going, and I'm sorry about the not this thing working as you expected when you get up here. And well, we have to trust in the Lord, like our brother Gary says. Thank you to Jay to help me, and usually someone else to understand more of these things better than me. I'd like to start with the use with the song with your song, and what it says in the song that we first sung is a little bit. It says a little bit about what my sermon is tonight. And that's 2:13, my Jesus love thee, and I'm going to read just a little bit here, the second part. It says, I love thee because thou hast first loved me and purchased my pardon on Calvary tree. And that is what is about this weekend. This weekend is very special. It's about what Christ did and the pain that he went through for us, for you and I. And I ask you to pray for me that by the time I finished my sermon, I make a point. But yeah, it's very important that many people perhaps they have forgot what we celebrate today. My stomach is pretty full. I have pretty good lunch. It was good food, what my family prepared. I wanted to take it not really bad, but I'm gonna have to wait for that. But yeah, today is not just about food. It's about remember our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. And so you see right here, that I have a picture here, which my brother might know, my brother Gary. We mountain bike a lot, and can we talk a little bit about it this morning? And this is something that we get to enjoy, the outside, the outdoors. But a lot of the times, if you're not careful, being up there, you can get hurt. You can get hurt. So, this is kind of makes sense a little bit, because everything has a price. Everything is not just there for you. But if you're not careful, you're going to suffer. You're going to suffer. And I'm going to show you guys another slide here that's coming. And it might be a little gross, but riding my bike in these awesome trails, if you're not careful, you can have a really good gush coming out of your skin. And it was pretty painful. So if I'm not careful, which it reminds me to get protection. And so after this, I was able to think about it a little bit and get myself some knee pads that it will protect me. Like I said, you know, all this stuff has been done, it's been made for us to enjoy. But there's something more up there, something else up there that we have to understand. Somebody suffered for us, that we may have joy. That we may have joy. That's the big word right there. Everything that's been made by his hands is for us to enjoy as people, as believers, as followers. So right here, I'm going to read this verse here real quick, Acts 17:31. It says, because he hath appointed a day in that which he will judge the world and righteousness by that man who he had ordained, Wherefore he had given assurance unto all men, and that he had raised him from the dead. We're talking about God. The insurance that we have when we follow him and follow his commandments and do everything he told us to do and have a beautiful life with family and kids and righteousness away from trouble, you know, that insurance that we have is the same that he there for his son. That's the same the promise that he has for us. If we continue all the way, there's going to be obstacles. There's going to be troubles and who knows what in our life. And perhaps even worse when you come to Christ. Your life it comes naked. It's like this world. It blinds you with the things that it has around. And it's like it says, it's like it puts a pacifier in your mouth so that you can be all calm and everything. And thinking that everything is okay and there's nothing wrong. But and we know that is the plan that our enemy has for us. And so we consider the judgment says to come. And then Christ will be our judge. And so we have to be able to acknowledge these things. And then, you know, when we come to Christ, our eyes are open into the things that surround us. And we are not longer have no desire of those things. But our focus is in Christ. And so that word right there, where he had given assurance unto all men, that should be enough for you and I that we have, that no matter what happened in our lives, we have that assurance that we'll be with Christ in his kingdom. When he was coming into Jerusalem, riding the donkey, it has more to say in the back, you know, behind this, what he did, you know, when he was riding the donkey to Jerusalem. And they call it, I guess that was like the Palm Sunday. That's what they called it. So it says right here, praise God for sending his son to earth, Jesus sacrificed for our sins. Many people, when he saw him riding the donkey into Jerusalem, and they acknowledged, they didn't know who he was. They don't know who he was, and so much the other people that were present, they were like, who is this? And why are these people making this commotion? I mean, what is so special about this guy riding a donkey into Jerusalem, and you guys are putting your coats, branches, and all the stuff, and so he can go over and pass. And they didn't know that he was about to be our king. He was about to defeat sin who ruined your life and mine. They didn't have that understanding. When he was going into Jerusalem, he knew what was next. And so we have this opportunity for us to know that I'm pretty sure he felt alone when he was riding the donkey. And he knew what was waiting for him up there. In Matthew 21:9 it says, and the multitude... And the multitude that went before and that followed cried, saying, Hosanna to the Son of David, blessed is he that cometh in the name of the Lord. Hosanna in the highest. And if we go to Psalms 118:25, it says, save now, I beseech thee, O Lord. O Lord, I beseech thee, and now prosper thee. That's what Hosanna means. Save us. Save us. I believe it's a Hebrew word that that's what it means. Hosanna is to save us. And as he was riding the donkey, you know, is for us to increase our faith, because by grace, you know, he gave himself for love to us. And John first, Book of John first, and I'm sorry, is it 3:16, where it says that he loved the world so much that he gave him his only son to die for us. And so when Christ was surrounded by all the multitude, he was with them before his death, about 3 years for what we know. And did they remember anything that he said? That the Son of Man will be put to death and on the third day he will arise? No, they didn't see it. They didn't see it. And so as he was writing, I'm pretty sure he was, because they were worshiping on him like he was a king, like he was somebody who was, because that's what they were waiting, a king to come and fight for them and save them from the Romans. But it was nothing like that. It was nothing like that. It was totally different. So God speaks. We have to obey. We have to listen to, do our best to see what is he's trying to tell us. But I guess you can say that some people do have a special gifts, and that is not me, at the understanding of his word. In John 17:8 says, "For I have given unto them the words which thou givest me, and they have received them, and have known surely that I come out from thee, and they have believed that thou didst send me." This is Christ's words. He prayed for us, you know, at that point, he prayed for his disciples and praying to his Father to open their minds and their hearts so they can take and have the understanding of what he was saying, because I don't know why, but he never explained himself, like when he was speaking in parables, what does that mean? You know, I mean, it's like makes my brain scramble when I think about those things. What does it mean? What is he trying to say here? But myself, my experience, I can say that what I have believed in Christ Jesus and the changes in my life that he did, it's enough. It's not for me, because what we should know for sure is that we have a lot of questions, and when we're gonna have a truly understanding. Perhaps when we are face to face, we can ask questions. And to this point, there is a really simple way that you can follow and be safe. Baptism, repentance, and eternal life. Only in Jesus, because he is the one who is he is the one the conquer the conquered death. In Mark 13:11 it says, "But when they shall lead you and deliver you, take no thoughts beforehand what you should speak, neither do ye premeditate, but whatsoever shall be given to you in that hour, that speaks ye, for it is not ye that speak, but the Holy Ghost." That's enough for me. That's enough for me to express myself when I have the opportunity to speak others about him, to witness him, about Christ and the thing that he did. Today, it's not just about food and drinking and decorations and I mean, look at what I'm wearing. This is Easter enough for you? I was telling my sisters this morning, This is not all about this, but it's about to remember our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. The two sons of Helaman, in Helaman 2, 80 and 81, it says, and it came to pass that Nephi and Lehi, this is the two sons of Helaman, dare preach unto the Lamanites with such a great power and authority, for they have power and authority given unto them that they may speak, and they also have what they should speak given unto him, unto them. Without fear, we need to open our mouths. We don't have full understanding, but what we have, it should be enough to convince, to remember what he said, that we plant the seed, but God is the one who makes it grow. It don't matter what it is. Every time or any time you treat your brothers with love, that's a big change. That's something that is different in you. They will see it. And so remember that you're not the one who's speaking. It's the Holy Ghost who lives in you. Therefore, that they speak unto the great, astonished men of the Lamanites, to the convincing them, and so much that there were 8,000 of Lamanites which were in the land of Zarahemla land and around about, baptized into repentance. Remember, our brothers, the Lamanites, they were pretty hard to understand and to keep or to take the word of God or to get to know him. They were not given the opportunity for the Nephites to change their way they were living. And it's the same way today that we are facing in these days, because traditions are very hard. And traditions right now, as my brothers, those who have been in other countries, especially from Mexico, front, it's a big day, and it's a whole day. It's food and drinks. It's a big party in the streets, and they're scaring around this idol, you know, worshiping. But we know that that's not something that pleases God. That is not. In Genesis, we read here about what happened. Why is it that, you know, that God did not accept the gift that Abel was offering him? Because God had not accepted his offering, or because he had accepted Abel, Cain was angry and depressed. God told that if he changed his ways, he will indeed be accepted, but if he does not change his ways, God is describing sin persistent and is always ready to act and always. When sin takes over you, it's to me, it's like angriness. When you get mad about something, actually, I think Paul says it in one of his letters, that when you have anger in your heart, it leads to other things, even to kill. Even to do those things that you may be repenting about it, but it will be too late because you opened the door to sin. And Abel, he also, we read here 6-7, Genesis 4, 6-7. And Abel, he also brought at the firstlings of his flock and of the fat thereof, and the Lord had respect unto Abel and unto his offering, but unto Cain and to his offering he had no respect, and Cain was very wroth, and his countenance fell. And the Lord said to Cain, why art thou wroth, and why is thy countenance fallen? If thou dost well, shalt thou not be accepted? And if thou dost not well, sin lay at the door. At the door, sin is always waiting for you. You know, and that's another scripture that says that Christ is always knocking at your door, on your heart door. Brother Gary talked about it this morning, that don't let your heart get hard. Heart. I don't know if I'm saying the same word, but don't let your heart get hard. That makes sense? Otherwise, you're going to be falling. You're going to be falling back. If you stop reading the Word of God, you're going to be falling back, and your heart is going to go back into the thoughts that you used to have, the things that you used to love to do. You're going to start falling back into the world. Into the world. And that is how your heart is going to start to separate from the love of God. And so we have to be careful with that. That's why God is, you know, if you do the right things, you know, you should be okay. You should be accepted into me. So what is accepted into God? We have to watch for each other, love each other, pray for each other. You know, we have to count and we have to do those fruits the God is asking us to do. You know, by your fruits, He will know us. By our fruits, people will know you too. So it's very important to remember these things. You know, God can see everything. God can see your heart. He knows your thoughts. That is something that I always remember from my brother Hugh. You know, God knows like what you're thinking right now. You know, the very thing you're thinking right now, what's in your heart, He knows it. And so, but that, you know, that makes me a sinner myself. I mean, you know, that makes a sinner. There's none of us who is good. We know that because we fall, you know. But when baptism comes, it's the door. And so the way is long. The way is long. So pretty much is once you enter the gates of baptism, you have your whole life that you can prove that you are a true follower of Jesus Christ. And so baptism, sitting in the bench, you know, that doesn't mean that you are safe already. We have to fight continually as long as we live in this world. We have to fight until we meet our God in His holy throne. In Jeremiah 4:22, it says, "For my people is foolish. They have not known me. They are sortish children, and they have not understanding, and they are wise to do evil." We are so good to do evil. You don't have to be a spectator. You don't have to be a professional. You know, you just do evil without even thinking about it. We don't have that. We don't that understanding to follow God and His commandments. But we are so good to cause damage, to make damage, to mention say some words that you may hurt someone. And perhaps you see it today, you don't see it next weekend. For what we say, we can cause people leaving the church. If we don't watch what we say, that can happen. Because we are so wise to do evil. I'm not saying that we are so bad right now, but those words can come out of your mouth without even thinking about it. But to do good, they have no acknowledge. And that's like we have to work on that. A comment that goes with this scripture from James G. Murphy. It says, "Thy case will be no longer a headless, ignorant, and consequent direction of duty, but a willful overmastering of all that comes by sin. And an going on from sin to sin, from inward to outward sin, or in a specific terms, from wrath to murder." That's what a sin is. In modern terms, God is saying, practice makes perfect. You know, practice makes perfect. And that tells me that we have to always, you know, when we speak, we have to think twice. Am I going to offend my brother? You know, practice makes perfect. Just like my brother Logan here, when he goes work out, he wants to get big. But how are you going to get big if you don't go work out, right? You have to work things out to get to where you want to go. Sense, desires is so persistent, and it is appealed to subtitle that if it's not consciously stopped, one will become a master, a pro, as we will say today, at sinning. It becomes a way of life. It can be a normal thing to do if we don't listen. What happened when our church was restored? For a little bit that I understand of history of our church, it says that in June 1829, the Lord gave us the name by which must call the church, being the same as gave to the Nephites. We obey his commandments and call it the Church of Christ. Okay? But until 1834, when through the influence of Sidney Rigdon, the name of the church was changed to the Church of the Latter-day Saints, dropping out the name of Christ entirely. We keep doing things that it does not please our Lord, even from the beginning. We want to see our church grow. We have to watch what we say instead of loving each other. Let me just read the rest of it here. David Whitmer, in address to all believers in Christ, David was right, and it was instigated by Sidney Rigdon. Motion was made by Sidney Rigdon and seconded by Noel Kent Whitmer, that this church be known hereafter by the name of the church. This church will be the name, actually, of the Church of the Latter-day Saints. But we are so thankful, and those who want to know more about this, you can read on the church history what happened and how we come back to be the right church with the right name from the beginning, which is the Church of Christ. In 1877, a name, Grenville Hedrick. I didn't get to know him, but we have family in the church who are related to this guy here, had purchased the most prominent portion of the plot of the land which Joseph Smith and Sidney Rigdon had dedicated in 1831 to be the future location of the temple headquarters to build and preparatory to the second coming of Christ. As a result of their ownership over this strategic property, later discovered to contain the barrier marker stones in place by Joseph Smith in 1831, the church came to be called the Church of Christ Temple. Thank you to Granville Hedrick, who listened by revelation that he should not be the president of the church. And that is how he did not accept that. But for one moment, sin was trying to get in his heart. We only have one president. We only have one God. We only have one head of that church, and that is Jesus Christ. Let's not forget that. If my people, which are called by my name, shall humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then will I hear from heaven, and I will forget their sins, and I will heal their land. Are we called by his name? Are we humble enough? I pray that we need to start doing that. Otherwise, the Holy Spirit, we will start putting that fire down slowly, The last time I was here 2 weeks ago, I read that they even now, when we pray and ask for the calling of more men, we go to God in prayer, right? Just like the disciples there when they chose to replace what was his name? The one that betrayed Christ. And there was now 11, but they needed one more to complete the 12 disciples, apostles again. Can't remember his name, Iscariot, Judas Iscariot, thank you. To replace him, they went and prayed and asked God, and God told them who. We were just blessed by the calling of one apostle. And so, how did that happen? It's because everybody was in prayer. We need more ministers. Did God heard us last week? Yes, he did. And so we had a blessing, the miracle that God has called another brother to be an apostle of the Jesus Christ Church. So we need to continue to humble ourselves and to come to God in prayer that we may find ourselves worthy in his sight. Jeremiah 3:25 says, we lay down and our shame and our confusion cover us, for we have sinned against the Lord our God, we and our fathers from our youth, even unto this day, have not obeyed the voice of the Lord our God. We need to obey the voice of our Lord when he comes to us. I don't consider myself clean. We need help. And I need to do better. I need to do a better job. I need to be a good example to those who surround me. And that fall in every single one of us. In John 1:14 it says, and the word was made flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. This is the love that God has for us. The even that we have, that we were sinners, Christ took the punishment. And this is the day that we need to remember what he did. Himself, because he loves us. And you find it in John 3:16, like I said, because he had the greatest love. What did he say? There is no friend that will give his life for his friend. He even called us friend. My friend, the carpenter. Matthew 21:5-11, it says, tell ye the daughter of Zion, behold, thy king coming unto thee, meek and sitting upon an ass, and a colt, the foal of an ass. And the disciples went and did as Jesus commanded them, and brought the ass and the colt, and put on them their clothes, and they set him thereon. And every great multitude spread the garments in the way. Others cut down branches from the tree. And the reason I put these branches in this picture, the other day I was doing a side job and I was cutting palm trees. And as I was picking up those branches, I thought of Christ riding the donkey into Jerusalem. And knowing that he was going in there to suffer. And as I was just working, my car was overwhelming. And I just don't know how much can I do to thank him for everything he did. And it struck them on the way, and the multitudes that went before And there followed Christ, saying, Hosanna to the Son of David. Blessed is he that cometh in the name of the Lord. Hosanna in the highest. And when he was coming to Jerusalem, all the city was moved, saying, Who is this? And the multitude say, This is Jesus, the prophet, the Nazareth of Galilee. A prophecy that nobody knew. You find it in Zechariah 9:9. It says, Rejoice greatly, O daughter of Zion. Shout, O daughter of Jerusalem, behold, thy king coming to thee. That he is just and having salvation, lonely and riding upon an ass and upon a colt, the foal of an ass. Salvation, the king didn't know it. They were just shouting for him for the things that he did when he was with them. He didn't saw the point that he was trying to make, everything that he teach to them as he was with them. He took the character of a king when he entered Jerusalem amidst the hosanna of the multitude, but his kingdom is a spiritual kingdom that which is didn't know, and it should not be advanced to outward force or carnal or any weapons as they thought. And that's what they thought, that he was coming to fight for them as a king, you know, as a somebody to fight with weapons or whatever. He was just about to become victorious over the dead, which didn't have the understanding. So they never took him as a king. We are humans, and we make mistakes. We judge what we see. We don't believe in the things that we don't see, really. But right here it says in Luke 22:14-24, and when the hour was come, he sat down, and the 12 apostles with him. And he said unto them, With desire I have desire to eat this Passover with you before I suffer. They still did not understand what he means before I suffer. But if they have the understanding that he was, those words was coming from his heart. I'm about to die. I'm about to put in the cross and nail. I won't be able to eat with you until we meet again in my Father's kingdom. For I say unto you, I will not anymore eat thereof until be fulfilled in the kingdom of God. 24. And there was also a strife among them, which of them should be accounted the greatest. Christ here is about to put to death. And where are these 12 disciples or 12 apostles? They think that it's more important. Who is the greater? Who is the greater? It's like I think about like my where I work and the resort I work, the general manager comes and say, Hey, gather us all together. Our company, our resort is about to put, you know, going down. We're closing. We ran out of business. There's no more job for you. Those are bad, bad news. What if he asks, do you guys have any questions? And I'm just thinking of myself, someone lifting his hand and say, hey, why are they charging us for coffee? Is that important? When I'm telling you that the company, the resort is about to close and you're not going to have a job, you care about why they're charging you for coffee? Christ is saying, I'm about to put to death. And you asking me who's going to be the greater? See, that means that we still don't not listen. We just do what we think we is right or the things that we see. In John 13:30-17, it says, "You call me Master and Lord, and you say, well, for so I am. If I then, your Lord and Master, have washed your feet, you also have to wash one another's feet, for I have given you an example that you should do as I have done to you. Verily, verily, I say unto you, the servant is not greater than his Lord, neither he that is sent is greater than he that sent him. If you know these things, happy are ye if you do them." You want to be the greater? He did that very right there in front of the example. Be a server. And that's what we need to do. Not focus on the things that you want, that you expect, or you expect it to be. First, be a servant before you asking me if I'm going to be an apostle, an elder. Thank you, Lord, for making me a priest. And I will continue do the things that you asked me to do. You will be done. He died for us on the cross, for our sins, and we need to put more attention on what we heard or what we hear his word, and not to think who will be the greatest and faithful servant. We need to be more about to be a servant. And with those words, looks like my sermon was coming too short. I didn't take the whole hour, but I hope and pray the message is that take time to give thanks to Christ this day, and to understand that we don't celebrate what the world celebrates today, because we serve a living God, not a dead one. Today, he was arise. God raised him from the dead. He was victorious over death. And that's what we should celebrate today. That he lives in each of us. And not to think that he is just a spirit, because he is a living God that was raised up by his Father. And the same promise is for you and I. And I thank you. Thank you for that. And I leave you with this picture here.